Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast on this Sunday, December 25. It is not often that the broadcast falls on a Christmas day. It always falls on Sunday, or at least most of the places where it is broadcast on Sunday. But Sunday only falls, or Christmas Day only falls on Sunday once every 7 years. So we are in an unusual time, and I'm going to be focusing upon the account of the birth of Christ as it's found in Luke chapter 2. So, I know that almost none of you are on your regular schedule today. I know that we don't have some of our regular listeners and probably have others that do not regularly hear us, but are because of the change in schedule. But we welcome you, whoever you are, regular listener or first-time listener, and pray that the Lord will be pleased to use our meditation today to the glory of Christ and to the good of your soul. So thank you for joining us on this Sunday, December 25. I thank those who remember that the financial gifts of our radio listeners are what keep us broadcasting on this station. And if you would consider a year-end gift for the Beacon Broadcast, it would be a great encouragement and blessing indeed. Well, Christmas, certainly the world's greatest and most festive celebration. I'm confident of that. There are a lot of celebrations in this world, a lot of them religious. In fact, I would say the majority of them are religious, at least as to their beginning, though many have drifted away from that, as we see happening with the Christmas celebration. And there are many other religions that are widely celebrated within the community of that particular religion, and some of those religions have a lot of adherents, and so there are other large celebrations in this world. But my observation, and I think it's accurate, is that the Christmas celebration is the most universal, the most worldwide, the most likely to be known and understood of all celebrations that take place anywhere in the world in a calendar year, which is not to say that every individual in the world is familiar with it, but I'm saying that more people are familiar with Christmas. At least they have heard about it, whether they celebrate it or not. They know something about it. And I would go further to say, I think there are more people who actually celebrate Christmas, though whether they celebrate the true meaning of it or not is another matter. But I'm confident that Christmas is indeed the most widely celebrated holiday in all the world. And isn't that interesting that the one celebration that is focused upon Jesus Christ turns out to be the most widely known celebration in the world? In other words, though we know that most of the people in the world do not welcome Christ, do not love Christ, and the majority actually are hostile to Christ, and many do what they can to push Christ out of people's thinking and out of the public arena and out of any public recognition, they are not able to accomplish that. Because every year, December 25 rolls around, and actually in some parts of the world, Christmas is celebrated on a different date, but every year that date rolls around, that indicates the celebration of Christmas, the supposed date for the birthday of Jesus Christ, at least the day on which the people in that community remember the birth of Christ. And try as agnostics have, try as secularists have, try as other religions that are not the Christian religion have, none have succeeded in stamping out the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. It is indeed the world's greatest and most festive holiday. Now, I'm also aware that when it comes to Christians, there are divided opinions as to whether or not we should celebrate it. Most, again, the majority, are agreed that we should, or at least are not going to support the abolishment of it. They're happy to celebrate it. And believe me, though I fall into that category, and I'm going to explain a little bit more why in a moment, it's not because it is a majority opinion. In my observation, in this world, most of the things that are supported by the majority turn out to be wrong, but not everything, and I think this one actually turns out to be probably correct, though I'm certainly not going to be dogmatic about it. But there are some Christians who have a very firmly held conviction that there should be no Christmas celebration because, number one, the Bible does not command it or even give examples of it. We don't find the early church celebrating the birth of Christ. You don't find that anywhere in Scripture. And number two, God conspicuously did not even give us an accurate date for us to know when Jesus Christ was born. That's not recorded in Scripture. And if you want to add a third reason, it is true that the Christian celebration has been widely misused by apostate Christianity down through the years. And if you want to add a fourth reason, it is because there have been pagan elements that have been introduced into the celebration of Christianity down through the years. And if you want to add a fifth reason, it is true that many of our most serious-minded Christian forefathers, such as the Puritans, did not celebrate Christmas, and even in places where they were in control of government, they made it illegal, as in the early days of America, whether you are aware of that or not. And so I am quite aware of the fact that there are some Christians today who believe that the celebration of Christmas is not God-honoring. And I know that, I acknowledge that, I respect that, but I personally don't agree with that for reasons that I'm going to explain in just a moment. But I am quite familiar with it. I've known a number of people like that. I've talked to a number of people like that, and I've even had people in my own family, among my relatives, who have taken that position. So I do understand it. But I think there are some good things about Christmas, and I'll give you some details in a moment, but I think in many ways it becomes something like the proverbial glass half full or half empty situation. Some people look at the Christmas glass and they see it half full and they rejoice in the half that's there, that at least is good and godly and can point men to truth, recognizing that there is a half that's missing, to be sure. And others look at the same glass, and all they see is what's half empty. They see the things that are wrong about it, the things that are missing, the things that are a corruption of biblical Christianity, and therefore they want to toss out the whole thing. They don't acknowledge the part of the glass that is full. They don't even think there is any half fullness there. They think the glass is entirely empty. Well, why am I happy to celebrate Christmas on December 25 with my family? And I think of it primarily as a family celebration. And why am I happy to do that in spite of the fact that I know that there have been problems with it down through the years? Well, because I'm convinced that it's a good thing for the world to be reminded of Jesus Christ. I think it's a good thing to have a time of year when the world is willing to, as it were, admit Christ into public discourse and the public marketplace when he is crowded out most of the rest of the year. Now, I recognize that most of the people who allow him in are not trusting him, are not worshiping him, are not giving him the full honor and glory that is due unto his name. But there is a witness for Jesus Christ at this time of year that you don't find at other times of year. So I'm thrilled when I walk into a shopping mall or into a store and I hear being piped in over the speakers in the store, the music that is being piped in, and I hear, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King." Well-known Christmas carols. And everybody's hearing that that's in the store, whether they're paying attention to it or not. There's a tremendous witness. You won't hear anything like that the rest of the year in that store, but at this time of year, you will hear that. I think it is an opportunity to highlight truth, to point people to Christ, to helpfully cause people to think about Christ. Back when I was younger, there was much emphasis among Christians about Jesus is the reason for the season. In other words, trying to highlight the true purpose of Christmas. It's not primarily about gift giving. It's not primarily about parties and vacations, time off work and celebrations. It's certainly not primarily about drinking and immorality, which so often is a part of it in the thinking of many people. It's not that at all, but it is a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, what are you going to do about that? If Jesus Christ was born, at least the world is celebrating his birth at this time, it must be pretty significant happened to cause such a worldwide celebration. You don't find many things that are known to be mythical, untrue, without historical veracity, without historical evidence, that are widely celebrated, though some may deny the historical evidence, but it's just hard to suppress it. And if Jesus Christ was born, and if he is who the Bible says he is, then you're going to have to give account, dear person, for how you receive that information, how you receive that message, how you respond to the testimony of the truth of Jesus Christ. It can be a wonderful reminder. Now, there are obviously some things that are bad about it, and I don't deny that. It's bad that many people who call themselves Christians basically neglect the real reason for this celebration, and put the emphasis upon Santa Claus and Christmas trees and lights and parties and drunkenness and immorality. It's certainly not good that many people are happy to accept the benefits of Christ but ignore the source. But isn't that a commentary on all lost men? In other words, yeah, I'm happy that there is a Christmas. I'm happy for this celebration. I'm happy that at this time of year I get a Christmas bonus, and I get some days off work, and we all have family gatherings and parties and office parties and all kinds of things. I enjoy all this. I'm happy to take all the benefits I can from it while ignoring the reason for it. Yeah, that's bad. I know that. A lot of people do that. A lot of people do. And I recognize that a lot of people, because they do this, eventually lose both the benefits and the meaning, because they squander it eventually. It's gone. But in spite of all of that, I think there are some good things for it. What is the world, just to try to frame it for you, what do you think the world is looking for at this time of year? And really at all times of year. And I would suggest several things. Joy, peace, love, hope. These are things that are universal, that everybody has some desire and longing for this. People want joy rather than sorrow, and will often go to all kinds of extremes to try to make that happen in their lives, trying to overcome the sorrowful aspects of life with whatever their concept of joy is, or whatever they think will drive out the sorrow, make them forget about it, and give them joy. And of course, apart from Christ, it's a futile effort and leads to all kinds of sins and excesses, but this is a universal longing. Everybody seems to be desiring joy. And number two, everybody seems to be desiring peace. That's something that the world lauds, and even many people who give no credence to the Prince of Peace, nevertheless are talking a lot about peace. Most of us have lived long enough to be aware of the peace movement, which still isn't, it's not as strong as it was during the era of the Vietnam War, when our country was at war, and there was this huge peace movement, but it has not gone away. The peace movement survives, and the peace symbol survives. I have a particular site on the internet that I visit fairly regularly, and it uses the peace symbol on the site. It gives me an idea, something of the thinking and politics of the people who run that site. That doesn't make me thrilled, but it does remind me that there's this universal longing for peace. Everybody would like to have it. People just don't agree on how it can be achieved and what it should represent, what we should be doing to bring it about, what we can be doing to bring it about. Third value that nearly everybody desires is love. People desire to be loved. People want to be able to express love. People recognize that love is a powerful emotion, but it's more than an emotion. It's a powerful expression of the best values of human dignity. Certainly it is Christian, but human dignity and human, the best of humanity is expressed in love, as opposed to hatred and so forth. And nearly everybody understands that and values the benefit of it. And then, of course, the concept of hope. We have a president who's in office until the next inauguration, who was elected to office on the promise of hope and change. And I would have to say that he delivered on the second part of that promise, change, but it clearly didn't bring much hope. In fact, it seems like our nation is more hopeless, more discouraged, more without prospects of real benefit and good prospects for the future, is more hopeless than ever before. But hope's a good thing. Everybody would like to have some hope and have some basis for it, and loves to think that things can change and become better. Well, what did God promise in the coming of Jesus Christ, if not joy, peace, love, and hope? Now I take time to read the familiar account in Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What does God promise in the giving of His Son? And He gave His Son. That's what the birth of Jesus is all about. That's what the incarnation is all about, is God giving His Son to the world, and with it so many blessings, and far more than these, but let's talk about these four. First of all, the blessing of joy. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Joy, the very thing that people are longing for, is found in Jesus Christ, and I would quickly and emphatically add, is found only in Jesus Christ. What is it that destroys joy? Well, it is actually sin, though people don't often understand that, but that's the truth. It's sin. It's our transgression against God. This sin, this violation of God's word, of God's law, of God's rule in our lives, but because we are sinners and rebellion against God, we are not in a right relationship with our Maker. We stand condemned before Him. We are suffering the consequences of our sin, our sins that bring consequences to us and bring consequences to those around us. They bring consequences to our family, to our community, to our society, to our nation, and pretty soon it squeezes all the joy out. It's gone. You try to find the bottle, but it's not there. You try to find it in a prescription of pills, and it's not there. You try to find it in free sex, and it's not there. All of these things turn up empty, though they promise so much joy, 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 and it becomes emptiness and hollowness and hopelessness and bitterness and agony and sorrow. But in Christ, there is joy. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Dear friends, in Christ there is joy. Joy can be restored. Joy can be created. Joy can be generated and will be in the hearts of those who understand their need of Christ and will humbly and believingly and repentantly come to Him. And peace. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Peace, what a wonderful prospect. Lack of fear, lack of anxiety, lack of worry. No more inner turmoil. Do you experience any of those things? Fear, anxiety, worry, inner turmoil? Well, Christ comes to bring peace to replace all of that. And how do you obtain that peace that drives out all of these things that you wish were not in your life, but they're there and you can't seem to help it? It comes only by trusting in Christ and living according to His word, humbly, believingly, transparently toward God and men. That drives out fear, anxiety, worry, and inner turmoil, and nothing else will do it. Money can't buy peace, I promise you. Nothing can obtain peace. Peace slogans, peace marches, peace movements don't achieve peace at any level, whatever level you're talking about. International conflict right on down to the turmoil in homes and marriages, and the turmoil even further down than that, the turmoil within hearts that actually generate all the other. This lack of peace, it is because of a lack of coming to Christ and availing ourselves of what is in Him and the Word of God, which enables us to drive out these things and to live in peace and love. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What is that? Well, that's another way of saying love toward men. Instead of hostility, kindness, goodwill, to value others, to cherish others, to be unselfish toward others, to have a giving attitude, a giving spirit toward others. This is the opposite of what is found in so many cases. Instead of suspicion and fear, going back to the peace that so many people have toward others, hostility toward people for any variety of reasons, some of which are because of past experiences with that particular person, and there may be a reason, maybe a very valid reason, why I don't like them, why I try to avoid them, why I don't have goodwill toward them, and in many cases, suspicion based upon generalities that don't really apply to that person at all, but they apply to other experiences or things that we have heard that we think apply to that person because we think that person belongs to a certain class or category that creates those things. And so no goodwill. And we realize, surely we realize how much better it would be if all that could be dissolved, washed away and replaced with goodwill, which is another way of saying replaced with love. Well, Christ promises that in His coming, for those who will receive Him and allow His presence within you and His Word applied to you to deal with all of these things until they're gone, and hope. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's hope. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There's cause for hope. Yes, we live in a world of despair and hopelessness, and most people eventually come to the place where they think there isn't anything better. We can hope for it, we can desire it, but there really isn't anything better. This is it. It's all there is. That's just all that's possible in the world. And so my hope for better things is gone. And then comes along Jesus Christ and shows you better things now and better things to come. A promise of better things to come. And suddenly there is a realistic hope based upon the Word of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's hope. Yes, hope in this world and hope for the world to come. That's why I would encourage you to worship the Christ of the Bible this Christmas and proclaim the Christ of the Bible this Christmas to those who are around you. Take advantage of this time when people are thinking something about Christ and try to help them understand more of what they need to know about this one. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.